You will now understand certain models, the distribution models within rural market. So let's understand that this is a structural model that gives you the idea. Companies use based on their number of villages served, the penetration in the rural market, different kind of such models. And so this is indicative in nature. Whatever model that is presented here, not necessary that all companies use either of them. Some companies might have evolved their own way of distribution, which probably may still need to be picked up by the academician so that you all can be enlightened. But these are the very known popular way of distribution in rural market. So let's take DM1 and distribution model 1. This is an advanced distribution model. It has a deeper reach. This has a deeper reach in which there is a separate channel for the urban market and the rural market. Separate rural distribution channel is created. It's a more useful for the bigger player who has a better reach in more villages across India and a deeper penetration, frequent utilization, good product acceptance, etc. are helping them to use this distribution model. This model in rural distribution has been separated. It is created to cater exclusively to the rural market in a way that is essentially looked after by them and urban market with its own challenge and limitations. So this is a graphical representation through a flow chart where there is a company who produces the goods. You have a carrying and forwarding agent. As I said earlier, we have understood carrying and forwarding agents are the one who invest in the goods and transport the goods to the next level. Most of them are forwarding agents who merely act as a storekeeper and they move the goods to the next level. Now, this CFA will then reach the goods to the distributor in rural. So, there is a distributor in rural, we know, and distributor in urban. We will study the rural first, where the distributor will have either a reach to the wholesalers or the sub-distributors, who in turn will reach the goods to the final retail rural markets. So, they may reach it to the satellite markets. A satellite market might have its own further distribution down the line, as I told you, through maybe bullock carts or say mopeds, their cycles, etc. So, this is a local means it goes right till the final village where the goods are being available. So, this distributor can provide to sub-distributor, he can directly send it to the village retailer, he can give it to the wholesaler, sub-distributor will send it to the rural market, wholesaler will also send it to the satellite market. From satellite market, again, there will be redistributors and, you know, those kind of people who take over and ensure that the goods reaches the final consumers. Look at the urban model, may be a little simpler, where this distributor will either supply to the wholesaler or he will directly reach out to the retailers in the urban market. Wholesaler in turn also will reach out to the set retailers in the urban market. So this is a distribution model 1, far advanced. There is a separate channel for the urban and separate channel for the rural distribution. As a result, this is more viable or this is used more by companies who have reached out already to the number of villages. They have a larger penetration, better good acceptance of their brands and more frequent consumption taking place. So, it makes sense for them to use this advanced model, which is the next. And here, the company appoints a sub-distributor under the rural distributor. We have seen this. This is a rural distributor. You have a sub-distributor to penetrate deeper into the rural areas. Okay. So, they decide, each company may have their own numbers, so population of village 5000 and above or something like that. The rural distributor, the redistributor covers a large area with low volume per outlet and poor road connectivity between the different outlets, thus making it unprofitable for him to cover smaller towns. The RD services the wholesale market in these areas too. The DM, this is that, you know, guy who has to then go out to the local market, other distributors, etc. The DM model focuses more on the distributor and sub-distributor rather than the wholesaler. So, again, this model, if you are practicing, the more focus is given to this side of the graph, and wholesalers are essential and needed where there is a large market and they have their reach to the satellite markets. Wholesale channel continues to play its role. So, as we have understood and explained to you, they play their role and they are there. They are not going to disappear overnight. Slowly, their importance is getting diminishing. But because the need to penetrate and go large and wide is the reason, vis-a-vis the other modes are making it possible to reduce your dependency on the wholesalers. Example is an HUL, Hindustan Unilever, who manufactures various products for all of us and uses a DA model 1. It appoints star seller for every 20 to 25 villages. They have their own terminologies. The star seller invests money in stock in all lines. Usually a big wholesaler in the area is selected as a star seller and he has a capacity to invest. So, to reach the remote village, HUL introduced Project Shakti, under which individual women members are appointed as a dealers. Yani. So, now various aspects needs to be looked at. Yani. So, star seller is either this or this. Yani. And then they have various models to reach down under. Yani. So, like HUL is also practicing Shakti Amma project, yani, as we know. That's how they are penetrating to the rural market. So, each company will have to strive to develop its own model. We are basically understanding the macro level of it. The granular part, which is the final last mile aspect, can be different for different company, different product categories and all. We are now going to look at model 2. It's an advanced model which is followed by the bigger companies where distribution of product happens separately for urban rural market. In contrast to this, DM1 we have seen is the model which is the advanced model. DM2 is a traditional model, very simple in nature, where the same model is going to service your both urban and rural market. So, as you saw this, here the carrying and forwarding agent reaches goods to the distributor. Is this distributor then has to find retailer for the rural market, and he will have to find the wholesaler who will then reach out to the retailer. He has a choice of directly reaching out to the retailer, or he can sell it through wholesaler who will then have the retailers both in urban and rural areas. So, he will have his own system of reaching the goods to the rural consumers or rural shops, and he will have his own method to reach out to his urban retailers. So, this is a very conventional old model, generally done by the companies who do not have large penetrations. They are either in an initial stage of growth, etc., or their brand is still to be either a challenger or a follower brand, and the acceptance has to increase. So, therefore, they cannot afford that, scale of being, DM1, operating on a DM1. So, therefore, they operate through a module called DM2. There is no separate channel in the distribution model 2. It minimizes, therefore, the distribution cost and allowing the company to offer better margin to his distributor that will push his product down under. Wholesale location works as a feeder market from where the company caters to the requirement of nearby villages, places which are not covered by the distributors. So, one need to also look at the distributor may or may not cover certain markets. So, in such case, the wholesale location or company's own way of reaching out to those people needs to be figured out. This is mostly followed by companies with limited number of SKUs and high sales volume. And their product range is not very wide. Therefore, they are in a position to operate on a smaller number of product range but higher volume. This is also preferred by new entrants who lack the required infrastructure to reach to the rural market. So, that's a very traditional module. It has its own pros and cons, still being very widely used by, as you said, people with limited SKUs and high volume turnover, or the new entrant in the rural market. They use that. Philips distribution model. So, friends, we are now going to study some of the models so that we get a better understanding. Philips markets, these light bulbs and all, over 75% of which are sold in the rural market. So, these type of bulbs are not in urban areas. They are sold in the rural areas. Philips has put up a distribution system in place. The product moves from Philips manufacturing plant to company-owned depots. So, they are company-owned depots. They may be in a zone, etc. A company-owned depot, each depot in charge catering to the at least one state. So, they have done a statewide depot development. This depot directly services both urban and rural distributor based on the order placed by them. Each distributor, urban and rural, is allocated as a city or a total coverage based on population strata. So, this is a distributor who is under this, catered by this particular company-owned depot, will then ensure that the rural market happens. Company today, now with the GST regime coming in, company may not need a depot in each state. Now, company can itself move away this model where probably zone-wise depot is done, because the goods now can freely move. Chalan and all is facilitating the free movement of goods. So, company again need not have a separate many companies are already divesting. I am aware of automobile companies also, at least, where earlier for every state they have to have a depot, which is now not needed in the GST regime and various other initiatives. So this model is there, which is used by the Philips. So they are reaching out to the rural market. It's a set channel now, and they practice it very aggressively. So it's Philips India who is there. They have a depot. Now these depots are at the various state level. They have an urban distributor and they have identified the rural stockist. So urban markets are catered through these urban distributors. Rural markets are catered by these rural stockists. Goods move from the depot based on the order that they receive. Companies currently do not have the large field force, but it is through the off-take that they ensure among the rural consumers, the pull keeps coming to them and the movement of goods happening. LG Electronics, let's understand who is a consumer electronic giant. Another example of a second distribution model. Here, LG, let's understand first this. So they have a mother warehouse. Mother warehouse is like where all products are stocked and available. Then they have a branch offices. Branch office cater to the nature of distributors. So one set of distributors who cover the districts and urban areas, the other set of distributors through their remote area offices, they cover the rural market. So let's go back to the previous slide. Here the intent is to have that mother depot cater to the efficiently growing rural market in India. A separate stocking point was created to manage the logistics of the depot penetration. It also appointed dealer and one specific dealer to cater specially to the rural audience. So each of this have given certain rural areas to cater to, and that's how they earmark the locality territory, and they target that territory to maximize volume. So that's how the rural channel is stepped and a rural market is stepped by LG India. Rural centric distribution models. So like, let's understand the rural centric distribution models. With the entry of new players, marketers are innovating different cost effective models. What we are going to understand, moving away from this, how are the new models which are coming up? You should not get confused that earlier also there were some models and now what model are we talking about? Here the focus is to really see the which are the new models which are coming up, which companies are trying, many are successful and others are going to probably adopt to this. So there are like, these are this very old system, hard centies and cooperatives and all. Now what is happening is the NGOs, youth groups, self-help groups are coming up, and this is really bringing the change in the rural distribution model. So rural periodic markets, hearts and shanties, are referring to the large number of rural hearts, they operate. Now the way this is going to get tackled, our companies are now trying to develop a ways and means in an organized manner to reach out to these places with the thinnest of intermediaries in between. So that's one new change that is companies trying to bring in, so that they are able to tap the first time movers, especially, and the regular buyers, not depriving the shopping shops that is already selling their goods. So this has to be done in a manner where they do not indirectly impact the sale of their existing rural retailers, but they still want to tap the untapped potential of the rural market. So that's how they are trying to reach out directly to such hats and shanties. A study by Rural Marketing Association of India, it's an association who understands the rural market setup very well, and that's what they have said, ke bhai, there are about 43,000, the number of hearts in India is almost about 43,000, and even though the sales are dominated by low value, small ticket items, but it is to the tune of about 5,000 billion INR. So you can understand that huge potential that it offers. Every week on an average 545 stalls appear in large heart. So one heart will have this number located in about 10,000 plus population towns, while around 327 stalls are set up in a small heart. So this is a good number to know how the heart this thing takes place. It's a weekly event where, based on the size of the area where it is done, the number of stalls vary, and they generally sell routine items to even consumer durables. As I mentioned, we will cover some of the models more in detail, especially with the focus on different types of models which is emerging. One such is SSG model and the other is a youth entrepreneurship based model. Vis-a-vis that, we will add on to some few other models also during our discussion. So let's understand the SSG model is a self-help group. What that SHG stands for is a self-help group. The concept is few women come together. This is a model where the women play a vital role. Few women come together, create a commercial enterprise for which they get the desired funding from the government of India or banks, etc., or even NBFCs to some extent, etc. And these women entrepreneurs then create down the line system to make their commercial enterprise viable. Now, this commercial enterprise, when you say, is for anything. So that's the concept behind that they are touched, they are given an opportunity to live a dignified life with their debt in center. Collective spirit has to be utilized to create that commercial enterprise backed up by the finance available from the government and banks, etc. And then they have to run their commercial enterprise in a way that they garner the required income to pay back loan on one end. This is possible when they work with that zeal and motivation to see that their goods reach out wide and far and more penetrate the households of rural India. So that is a simple concept I have tried explaining you. There are over 7 million SSG already across. So you can understand that this potential can be tapped, or you can add to this number. Your company can think of adding by using the SSG approach. They can reach out to these people, make them feel that there is a need for such kind of a SSG to come up so that the women can come together and then create a commercial enterprise around your product distribution and then live a dignified life. Second is a Project Shakti, means under SSG, this is one project which is an iconic project even today. And after so many years, I have not seen any other conversation when it comes to an example of giving example linked to SSG. Here, Hindustan Unilever, they have contemplated developing this model. The prehistory to this is like they were already wanting to tap the rural market. Their project actually started where, you know, they wanted to, they were good in that. They were better than even their competition. However, there was a need, because they were only restricting themselves to the 16% of the market. So how do you do this? How do you break away and create a larger reach? So that's where in that this thing, they were looking out for some breakthrough ideas. They were already working on their rural development program in one of the district, Itaha district, and there it was more to do with the dairy linked program, and they were covering almost 500 villages in that. Under this program, they were like trying to penetrate to the other areas, nearby village and all, and generate and provide an opportunity for these members to generate alternative income. Or say hygiene and health issues related things or infrastructure development, that was aimed at, you try and garner support for that. However, beyond a point, these male members were not able to contribute. That's where the idea to bring the women in, create a system which is inclusive of women, and that's where the birth of an idea called Project Shakti, Shakti Amma as also it is popularly known as, that took place. So here the women group are empowered, SHG, women can form self-help group and they approach HUL under the scheme of Shakti Amma, and then they take the HUL product in the market earmarked for them, and as they penetrate, their turnover and the sale will increase and they will benefit. Next model is a youth entrepreneurship model. Various challenges are there. There are now with the increasing education in rural India, now there are youths who are educated but unemployed. Now, if that is a scenario, they will try to have the influx on city and urban area. So that will create its own problem. Essence is, can you hold this guy where they are? They understand their geography better. They are educated. How can that potential be utilized? They may not be the entrepreneur by birth, but you can probably train them with the basics and then allow an opportunity for them to show their skills. So that's where this project has come in. Companies have adopted a model whereby they go to the rural market, they bring in few people, young, educated youths together, provide them an opportunity. Those willing people undergo certain training programs of selling and basics of selling, etc. And having done that, with the required backup of finance and the product availability being ensured. These are the youth who will then develop their own ways to penetrate the areas known to them, that is, go down deeper to villages, make household buy more products of their, more range of the products start reaching the same house. So they do those kind of initiatives, and they know their geography so well. So they are in a position to design their own strategy and tactics and yield the business for themselves, which in turn is helping the producer who is supporting them. So that's one another model. This is an addition to the new model. It can still be under, you can say, a new age model where the vans are used. Now, during the segmentation and all, companies have decided that they will cater to market or a village certain numbers and above, 2000 or 5000 and above. There are other markets still left out. Even the market we have decided to reach, reach may be a challenge in terms of finding a setup, finding a retailer, etc. So for both these areas, the market which is not, say, like really been segmented as a target market, or the market which is targeted but again a reach may be an issue, you get into the van distribution concept. Here large van is stocked with your goods. The seller, your retail salesman will get into it. They will move from places to places. They will park themselves for a couple of hours. They will go to the retailers in the area and they will try to sell your products. And immediately whatever is decided, asked by the retailer, is immediately provided to him. Do the billing, collect the payment, go to the next district or next town or a village. And that's how their route plans and all are structured over a period of 7 to 15 days. And they retouch the market, same market, whose frequency is decided. Certain market needs to be visited weekly, certain bi-weekly, monthly, etc. So that's how these vans are moved in a manner. Now, who will have these vans, Jane? Company leaves this to either the wholesaler, company leaves this to his distributor to practice this, etc. So as of now, the dependence is still on the distributor or wholesaler kind of thing. Eventually, tomorrow, it can be created a separate bandwidth, Jane, for which, of course, the company will also have to think of where they will manage. So right now, looks a remote this thing, but the dependence is on the distributor wholesaler who has to get into this model so that their penetration go better. Next comes the public distribution system. I have already covered earlier, which is a government owned distribution system for supplying essential items at a very reasonable rate to the consumers of India and the citizens of India, I will say. Now, this is known as a ration shops, as you know. How do you utilize this system? They sell certain basic essential consumable items for the human being to live and live life of reasonable comfort. So things like kerosene and even other items. But how can you do this? They already have a shop infrastructure. Can you tap the potential of that for your product distribution? So as I said, there are rules and regulation which probably debars them from selling certain things, etc. But this guy is already an entrepreneur mindset. How can you reach out to him and create a acceptance of your goods to be sold by him? Once he gets into that, he may do through the same shop or he may extend his shop, and that's left to that person to decide. Then comes this, cooperative societies. Large penetration, you read here that it has such a large reach. Almost 97% of the Indian villages are reached by the cooperative societies. Here the movement is people represent a group of a same ideology, same caste, creed, color, etc. And they come together to form a body, which is the official body supported by even government initiative. Government then is in a position to either finance them, fund them. They have a buying power and they can get into that. And they can develop their own reach among their members. So this can be used very well to see that your products are getting accepted by that cooperative, and that cooperative makes it available to their consumers or the members, as you say. So this is a cooperative movement, is also a very important movement in making distribution in rural markets successful. Rural mobile traders, last mile distributors. Now, this is slightly different from what we earlier understood as the vans, etc. Here it is more dependent on an individual to act as a trader, but he is a trader with no shops. And he is a one who is an individual who takes the onus of covering the market, where he wants to go, how he wants to go, and everything is left to him. Generally, company approaches non-targeted market to tap whatever available potential. So, in your marketing and segmentation, you have chosen to serve certain markets. You have chosen not to serve certain markets. Now, not to serve certain market also has a potential of your products being sold. That is generally tapped by using the power of mobile trader. They, through their own vehicle, go from house to house. The focus is more on house to house selling of the goods. Here, through their network, through their reach, etc., they try to reach out to as many dwellings in the area that they serve and sell the products. There are challenges to this, Yanem. They do not want to lose out on to an opportunity to sell. So, your goods or a competition goods are equal to them. They may get into selling fake products. Your control is minimal. So, all those aspects are the challenging aspects that one need to really be careful and conscious about. But this as a channel is also getting wide acceptance with unemployment growing and, you know, need of every individual to find a ways and means to survive for himself or herself. This movement has also caught up and the number is growing. Now we come to a very important subject. We have seen the distribution part sufficiently. Now let's understand the logistics. When you say logistics, means the way the goods have to move to reach out to your final consumers. You have understood the channel. You have understood the distribution partner. How the goods need to now roll and reach your final consumers. So, logistics industry is largely dominated by unorganized. When you say logistics, anybody who is responsible for the movements of cargo is a part of the logistics system. However, most of them are either one truck or one LCV or something of that sort. There are very few fleet operators, as you say, who will have a chain of various kinds of vehicles, and they are able to therefore service larger areas in a more efficient manner. Yet, logistics needs to be still, understood and utilized and developed simultaneously. Almost cost of Indian economy is 13% of the GDP. Yes, this is what concern today. 13% of a GDP being the logistics cost is on a much higher side. In a much developed countries, this is only around 5 to 7%. So this being higher, the challenge is to develop an efficient logistics model. Okay, so thereby your distribution cost can come down, your reach is more efficient, and your products are continuously available. Most FMCG company employ the hub and spoke system. What is the popular model in India is a hub and spoke. So we will try and understand what is this hub and spoke model. So in hub and spoke, as the name suggests, hub is a larger areas where people collectively meet. Spokes are the various ends which gets generated from the hub, and they are different nodal points, which is a spoke. So how this hub and spoke model needs to be really understood. Here the system of connections are arranged like a chariot wheel in which all the traffic moves along the spokes. So wheel center and then the spokes. So the goods and various traffic movement happen on the spokes. Increase efficiency by simplifying the routes to reach in various spokes will determine your logistics efficiency. This is a grammatical representation, pictorial representation of what you call hub and spoke model. So here A1 to A4 a semi-wholesaler, S1 to S4 a satellite market. So A1, A2, A3, A4 are the semi-wholesalers. So they are the hubs. So this is a town, this is a hub. And when that happens, then supplying to S1, S2, S3, S4 is a spokes. These are the spokes where this person or this party takes the responsibility. Or there may be multiple people here. Hub is a area or a place which is catered by your some of the semi-wholesalers. And then through various distribution channel, they ensure the reach to this spokes. So this is how the hub and spoke model operate. Wholesaler town, so he is a wholesaler and he represents a larger area. He reaches the goods. So for him, these are the spokes, A1, A2, A3, A4. He will ensure that goods reach out to semi-wholesaler or a redistributor, etc. Then they further distribute into the market below them. So each cluster becomes one hub, and then from there, when the goods move out to the farther areas, they are different spokes and they go into different direction. How this is going to connect to each other, how the A1 is connected to S2 is the through modes of transport, but the model overall is hub and spoke. Hub, spokes, A1 to S1, A1 to S2, A1 to S3, A1 to S4 are the spokes. So, hub and spoke model need to be first understood by you to understand the rural marketing logistics. This works as follows. The stockists are appointed in major towns and feeder towns. By and large, they do the following function: financing, warehousing, sub-distribution, depending on the size of the stockist operation, the product line, mix, etc. that they perform, all gets decided by the company. Retailers in the town and from the feeder towns get attached to this stockist. Retailers from these towns or the feeder towns get attached to this stockist, as it mentions. The manufacturer supplies goods to the stockist, who then take care of sub-distribution. Depending on the frequency, how often he needs to deliver goods, etc., that all is taken care of by the sub-distributor. He will supply goods to them. He and his frequencies are decided. This guy will then supply goods to this. These guys or the collective few people in that area will supply to the spokes. They have to find out their channel of distribution, frequency of distribution, modes of distribution, etc. Okay, the process continues as long as the market size grows, consumption, repetitions increase, the quantity needed is in a economical range, and the growth will further allow each one to grow. So, when the growth takes place, the wholesaler business will grow, these guys will demand more goods, because the spokes are now demanding more goods, and as a result, there may be need for more than 3 to 4 now sub-stockists can be done by wholesaler. Therefore, wholesaler will also get more volume. So, each one achieves the economy of scale for themselves. So, that's why this is called a satellite distribution system also alternatively. So, each one takes care of satellite links to that. So, again, when you go back to this, for this wholesaler, these are the satellites. And for this, these are the satellites. Okay, so that's why it is called also satellite distribution system. Syndicated distribution, that's another form. Here, the syndicated distribution system in which two or more companies come together to form a syndicated trading organization to jointly distribute collective group of products and service by sharing the distribution costs. They may not be having a competitive products, but they have a similar serving customer kind of a products or similar serving market kind of a products. And therefore, they can collectively come together and form what you call a syndicated distribution. As a result, the entire distribution cost is saved. The movement, transport cost is minimized, maximum utilization of the vehicle, maximum utilization of the godowns, etc., or warehousing capacities. So, with that happening, the economy of scale will allow them to bring the cost per unit down. Cost per unit of distribution will go down, and therefore they will benefit. For a new company targeting rural market, this is a problem to reach also, and this is also an opportunity to practice for them. Thus, they are often more keen to have a syndicated distribution. They want to pile on or join with somebody who is already having a distribution system in place. So, solution for the small company is to tie up with the leading companies in a non-competitive sphere, and therefore each one benefits out of it. Some problem with this model are markets for this coverage of both companies may be different. So, market may be different. Now, it's again, as I told you earlier, the complementary nature needs to be really looked at. If there's a market different, then again there will be a channel that needs to happen. The same people will have to think that after serving X company's goods, how the Y service goods will be delivered, etc. Payment terms may not be the same. One company might be operating in cash, the other in credit. So, here that's also a challenge. Only one company salesman accompanies the van. He pushes only his products. He may not push the other products hard. So, this and similar such aspects needs to be looked at when both parties decide to use a syndicated distribution system. However, syndicated distribution system as a logistics model is a all-powerful model because it brings economies of scale, right from warehousing to movement of the cost of movement and cost of stocking inventory, etc.